WPHT.
WPHT HD. WOGL HD3. Philadelphia. Always live on the free Odyssey app.
Now, from the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter.
It's the Scoreboard Show.
The Friday Night High School Football Scoreboard Show with Jeff Nolan and Kevin Cooney.
It is a holiday weekend and people are coming and going. They're coming over. Some of them, they're just not going home, but that's okay. The grills are fired up, so we've got you some hamburgers, some hot dogs, and a side order of high school football scores. Welcome, everybody. It is the WPHT High School Football Scoreboard Show. I'm Jeff Nolan, and we have, a lineup change here tonight, but we stick with Steady, and Steady is Kevin Cooney. And Kev, it's a holiday weekend. We're excited about this because it's a gathering. People are all getting together, maybe some extra people in the stands despite going down the shore.
Yeah, and there's also, this is the weekend where everybody is playing. There were some teams that took the first weekend off, but this is the weekend where everybody plays. So there is a feeling right now that we are all together and kind of a full slate. And it's strange though, Jeff, if you think about it, the way it goes is, a lot of teams on Thursday because people want to get away for the weekend.
Right.
A lot of games on Saturday, especially there's a couple down the shore because of the holidays. And then there's a ton of games tonight. It really feels like one of the busier nights of the year.
And it's very active. We got a lot of scores coming up. We do have a lineup change. Brian Hensel normally sits in the second seat. Well, he's dinosaur right now, as a matter of fact.
Down the shore.
Yeah, I like to say dinosaur. He's dinosaur right now. He's with Germantown Academy. He works as an advisor with the defense. So they had a game this afternoon. He'll be back next weekend. But we substitute with somebody that we've known for a long time. We know him very well. He was part of the show when we were at the other radio station, whether it be on the air with us, doing the play-by-play, still currently doing play-by-play, whether it's with St. Joe University. He's got the soccer, the field hockey covered, SBFN as well. And I'm talking about Double D, Daryl Dobus, with microphone problems already.
Yeah, I can't get it to stay up over here, so I'm sorry. It just keeps going down.
Hey, so this is your first opportunity to do it with on this station. It's radio's radio, but it's exciting to be somewhere else after 20 years there.
I told you off the air, I was an intern at 1210 back in the late 90s when they were down on City Avenue.
Yeah.
And this is nicer.
Yeah, we were.
This is huge.
We were reminiscing. We've been doing the show for 22 years, and I look back all the changes in 22 years. It's absolutely mind-boggling. Not mind-boggling, Kevin, is our first in 10 at 10. We're going to get to that, but we've got a great show. We're going to talk to John Donnelly from Central Bucks East a little bit later on in the hour.
Yep.
Kevin, they have their first night game in school history, 62 years. And why is that?
Well, they played in a lot of times. They played over at War Memorial Field, which was not belonging to them. It was on the campus of
their
arch rival.
Right.
This is at their own field, and they finally got the approval to get lights. So the lights have been installed. That'll be next week. And, of course, we'll talk about CB East right now and how they're doing.
Yeah, they're off to a good start. They picked up a win. Also, some of the writers are going to be joining us as well. So stay tuned. We're going to do this till midnight. Let's do our first and 10 at 10 if you're not familiar with the segment. Very simple. Kevin, Daryl, and I sat down prior to the game. We picked out our top 10s, our interpretation of the top 10 games in the area. And then I'll ask the boys why this game is important. So first and 10 at 10, and the first one right out of the gate is a 6A matchup. Coatesville taking on Academy Park. Well, Coatesville, no problems, 35-0 win over Academy Park. Kevin, I look at the score, and I say, well, why is this a big game?
Well, it's a big game because you want to see how Coatesville keeps growing. And offensively, they kind of struggled today. We're going to talk to Nate Heckenberg later. But they were still able to put 35 points up. That shows how explosive Matt Ortega's crew is, and so they're able to just put big, big numbers up every week. Against an Academy Park team, it's not bad.
No, and it tends to be an athletic team.
Yes.
You know, so you get challenged. You got two teams with a lot of good athletes on it.
Yeah.
And tonight it was Coatesville, 35-0. All right, let's go to another game. North Penn and Quakertown. North Penn just puts a beating on Quakertown, 49-7. North Penn coming off the opening week loss to LaSalle, rebounds on the road. Why is this a big game?
Well, it's a big game because of the fact that North Penn, you want to see how they responded. Look, they played one of the best teams in the state, everybody believes, last week when they played LaSalle. It's a rivalry game. They're fairly close together, but in a lot of ways, they're worlds apart. You know, as nice a run as Quakertown had last year, North Penn still plays at a different level, and North Penn showed that tonight.
Well, now here's the irony. You said LaSalle, arguably one of the top teams in the state, they get shut out tonight.
Yeah, they get shut out 35.
They lose 35-0 to Malvern Prep, and I kind of know where you're going with why this is a big game.
Well, it's a big game because the question is Malvern Prep really one of the best teams in the state? And they're one of those teams, because the Interac is not part of the PIAA. They're one of those teams that when we talk about the state title down the road, if Malvern was in this field, how would Malvern fare against a St. Joe Prep or Pittsburgh Central Catholic or whoever may be coming out of the West?
Which Pittsburgh Central Catholic will be on our score sheet tonight.
Yes, it will be.
Yeah, Lincoln goes out west to take on the...
Good for Lincoln, by the way. One of those trips going out west that we don't see a lot of from public league teams.
And public not getting respect from Central Catholic or the West. I'm talking about the disrespect that was showed to Imhotep over the past couple years.
Yeah, yeah. It's just one of those things that... It's good to see teams travel and take on and step up in opponents, and that's what Lincoln did.
All right, speaking of stepping up, I'm going to put my good buddy, Double D, Daryl Dobis, on the hot seat right now as we continue our first and 10 at 10, top 10 games in the area. Well, I go to Upper Dublin hosting Central Bucks West, and how about this? Brett Stover and the Flying Cardinals lay a beatdown on West, 35-7D. Just spitball. Why is this a big one?
Well, first of all, you're talking Upper Dublin's a 5A. Central, yep. Central Bucks has had a couple good years. They're a 6A. Those are points that are going to come in to play later on down the road when you talk about playoff seedings. I know it's only week two, but anytime you beat an opponent that's above you, that's always going to help you in the playoff push. Plus, I think Upper Dublin's still, it seems kind of sentimental, but you know, after that hurricane blew through and the fact that they're still playing their games on the road, I think they still have that kind of...
Well, this was at home. This was in the stadium.
At Wissahickon. Well, no, wait a minute. According to, supposedly it was at Wissahickon.
Oh, so they will be next week.
Yeah, they're not... Okay. I don't believe they're set up yet. You know, baseball field's down. Football field doesn't have lights.
It was thought that they would be on the field
already.
Yeah,
but this... I mean, that school's still being... That area, a lot of it, elementary school next door, houses across 309, they're still being rebuilt after that... Well, actually, I said hurricane. It was a tornado that blew through. I still think there's that kind of rallying cry with those kids, with the coaching staff, with the school saying, looking to do something positive for the community. And that does a lot to boost, you know, the want for a player. I mean, they want to win for themselves. They want to win for the coach, but there's something about playing for something more.
Kev, look at this. He sits down, hasn't sat down in a couple of years. Buddy, you still have it. You never had it, but you still have it.
I'm done. I'm dropping the mic now.
Oh, my goodness. That was good. All
that
right.
was good.
All right. Let's keep it rolling here. Our first and 10 at 10. Coming up, also our poll question in just a little bit. State College, Kevin, and Downingtown East. State College, always a front runner in the state of Pennsylvania, unable to really cash in, but they're always up there as a top team. They're on the road against Downingtown East tonight. State College pulls out a last-moment win, 32-31 over Downingtown East.
Yeah, we're going to see a trend for the Downingtown teams here in this first and 10 because it's a one-point heartbreak loss for Downingtown East. State College, you talk about that. The Little Lions are one of those teams we never see come out of the West, but they're always in the semifinals. They always seem like they go against Pittsburgh Central Catholic and they run into a matchup problem, but they, out of that you know, district, I think it's District 6 up there.
Yes,
correct.
Six.
Correct.
Yeah,
six. It's one of those teams that, because they play in a remote area, in reality, we don't see a lot of them. They're really good football, and I think that's actually a really good effort by Downingtown East to kind of play an even game. That bodes well for them, I think, for the rest of the year.
So, as we continue with our first and 10 at 10, I drop down now to a 4A matchup. And Matt DeGeorge will check in about this game. But it's Bonaprendi and the Haverford School. In the end, Haverford School wins 14-12. A big game. I have an idea what you might say.
Well, Bonaprendi, it's interesting because of what happened last week. And obviously, Bonaprendi did not get credit for a win. They were up in that game. Officially, they are not listed as it's not listed as a game, what happened with them in Upper Darby last week. Haverford is... one of them Interac teams. We're going to talk a lot about Interac here as the year goes along. They play a lot of Saturday games. They don't play for PIAA titles. They get lost in the shuffle. But we talked about this a little bit last week, Jeff, when Brian was here. really good football. We talked about it with Malvern. We talked about it again, with Germantown Academy is pretty good. Penn Charter's traditionally been okay. Episcopal Academy we'll mention later on as well. Haverford's one of those teams that's going to surprise some people. And it was a sloppy game, though. Matt DeGeorge mentioned both teams. One of the problems we've talked about with afternoon football, sometimes you get lulled to sleep. I mean, our buddy Dan Morehouse used to talk about how he hated Saturday afternoon games.
Oh, my goodness. Oh,
it's yeah. Midweek.
That
or end of
mayonnaise
week.
On a BLT, but go ahead.
Friday, order it dry.
thanks, babe. Thanks, hon.
Yeah. When you play a Friday afternoon game and you're not used to it,
yeah,
you tend to come out flat. Both teams sounded like they came out flat.
All right. So you had mentioned earlier, Kevin Cooney, the Downingtown's not a good night. Let's go to Downingtown West on the road against Rob Heist and Perk Valley. The Vikings, well, they win this one 30-29. For Perk Valley, by the way, 96 points in 2 weeks. Why is this a big game?
Well, it shows Perk Valley's offensive explosiveness. And for Downingtown West, you know, we talked a lot about East before the season started, and we wanted to see what West was, if West was ready to make that leap into the top echelon in District 1. Perk Valley is a team that you're going to have to get through. Mm-hmm. We don't hear a lot about them. They're not Coatesville. They're not Prep. But Perk Valley does have a great offense.
They win a couple rounds in the playoffs
right.
every year.
But the question is, can they play defense enough to really go and win deep into the tournament? And that's where I worry about them. And Downingtown West is going to be there again, but you worry again about the fact that they don't seem to win games like this.
Okay, let's continue here. And Daryl Dobis, a nation turns its lonely eyes to you. Neshaminy, Council Rock South, Redskins coming off a bad season last year, 2 wins, pick up a win last week, and they're on the road against Rock South. They win 21-7. And for some reason, Kevin felt that this deserved to be in our top 10. Can you figure that out?
Well, maybe a look
pandering.
Well, you kind of have two look ahead games here. Two teams might look ahead a little bit. You're talking about Downingtown West, which is always tough in the Chessmont, always going to throw up numbers. And to be frank, the Neshaminy has had some trouble defensively. I know they only gave up 7, but Council Rock South is not an offensive juggernaut. This isn't the team we remember from about 6 years ago that played for a district title against North Penn. They just, that offense really isn't there. And Neshaminy should have put up more points against South. Now they're going to go against Downingtown West next week. Council Rock South has a Pennsbury team, who we will address a little later on,
mm-hmm. All right.
That has lost their last 18 going into tonight. So that could be one they think, hey, that's a game we can get. And they got trapped.
But we talked about this in the preseason show with Neil French. You know, this was a program last year that really struggled in Neshaminy, like really struggled and had kind of floundered. They looked like they were really hit. You know, Pennsbury is another group that looked like that the pandemic kind of zapped something out of them,
sure.
and the program and the
right.
energy. You get out to a 2-0 start before you get into the heart of your league schedule. That's pretty good for them at this point, especially they beat a team that was 12-1 last year, last week. And then this week they come back, and yes, Rock South is a rebuilding program, but to kind of take care of business, I think that if you're Steve Wilmot and Neil French, you're really happy at this point.
You want to get through this one healthy because you know you're going to be in a dogfight with West. I don't care how good or bad Downingtown West is. They're going to put up points. They're going to give you trouble. That's next week. You wanted to get out of this one, like Kevin said, with a win, something positive. They come out of this healthy. You got a shot next week.
Well, speaking of dogfights, the 309 Bowl is our ninth game in the first and 10 at 10, and that's Penn Ridge and Souderton on the road, Penn Ridge tonight. They dropped their second under Coach Berge. They lose 24-21, Kevin. 309 Bowl, if you're familiar with it, speaks for itself.
Yeah, if Penn Ridge and Souderton are a stone's throw away from one another. It's strange, though. Every time we kind of count at Gallagher's team as, well, maybe they're going to take a step back. Maybe this is going to be a down year. They play well. They'll play well at the beginning of the year. Now, the question will be, can they carry that over too deep in the season? I don't know about that. But they're, you know, to win that game and the emotion of that game is pretty big. And for Penn Ridge, boy, we heard a lot about defense for them. I don't know. I mean, these two games... obviously they lost their best, you know, the one linebacker went to IMG.
Yes.
So that is a big blow for them. But I still think Pembridge football is not giving up 31 and 24 points in back-to-back weeks.
I'm going to show some lack of intelligence here. Are you talking about Picciotti?
Yeah. What?
Really?
Yeah.
I missed that
he
one.
Went to,
yeah.
He went to IMG.
Yeah. It's if you take on Dustin was the uncle. Yeah.
Yeah. Amazing athlete. I mean, yeah. You know, he was the takeover guy in the middle linebacker spot.
Let's go to our final game, first and 10 at 10. St. Joe Prep on the road, St. Peter's of New Jersey. Now, I can't tell you I know anything about St. Peter's of New Jersey, but if St. Joe Prep is playing them, more than likely it's a top-tier score.
Well, and if you watched St. Joe Prep last week against Thomas Aquinas down in Florida on the ESPN game. By the way, they had the ESPN noon time slot on big ESPN, not ESPNU or anything. And they lost 48-37, but you saw how athletic they are, and you saw how good they are. And they're going to face St. Peter's Prep, who is one of the better teams in Jersey. That's a really good start for them. Then they get, you know, they have this, they're one of those teams in the Catholic League. They're going to play a team for Brooklyn next week at home, then at Gonzaga Prep. This is just part of the murderer's row that they face here early in the year.
This reminds me of the old North Penn now on steroids. North Penn would always play the tough games. They'd play St. Joe's. They'd play LaSalle. They'd find three good opponents, and you always wondered, they went 0-3. Oh, are they down? Next thing you know, they win their next seven, and they're making a run through the state into the state playoffs. St. Joe Prep is no different. It's just that the caliber of play is even higher. So they lose this one, maybe even the next one. Don't panic. They're going to be there in the end.
We sit there and talk about this all the time in these three games or two or three games you have non-league. Play up. Play above your head. A lot of teams are starting to do that, and we're starting to see that on the schedule.
Yeah, and tomorrow night, by the way, is at Rutgers University.
That's really cool. There's a couple games that are using bigger facilities.
Yes.
Of course, Ocean City, New Jersey, there's a lot of games going on down there. All right, Kevin, we have a poll question, right?
Yes, yes, and you find it at WPHT Score. I also have tweeted out on my own, and I can't find my own Twitter feed.
What was the question, Kevin?
The question was, should public league teams and private teams play on an equal or on the same playing field for the same state championship? Some schools, you know, we mentioned New Jersey,
mm-hmm.
Some schools did public and private. They would fracture it up. So that's the question. Answer is yes, no. Or I'm not sure.
All right. And that's at WPHT Scores or at Kevin Cooney.
Yep.
All right. As we get ready to take our first break, we're going to have a little bit more fun, too. I'm going to cover both Daryl and Kevin's ears in soundproof headphones so they cannot hear me speak right now. As we go to break, we are going to ask each of them coming out of the break to spell the word quaff. Again, spell the word quaff. We'll come back with that answer and scores right after this on 1210 WPHD.
Be sure to follow Talk Radio 1210 WPHD on the free Odyssey app. Download it now.
It is a Friday night, holiday style. Everybody have a very safe and happy holiday. We're here till midnight. It's the High School Football Scoreboard Show. Kevin Cooney is with us. Daryl Dobas sitting in for Brian Hensel. Brian will rejoin the show next week. We have scores coming up in just a few moments and our poll question. And Kevin just talked about this a few moments ago. Should public and private schools play in the same pool for a state championship at WPHT Scores or also at Kevin Cooney?
Yep.
You can get that as well.
And we'll update that at the almost as we sign off the air at midnight.
Real quick, you want to spell quaff?
C-O-I-F.
That is it. Correct. That is it. So, Kevin, you get 2 points here. You have the early lead over Daryl.
I protest.
The password is?
The password is Alan Ludden. Okay. All right. Let's...
There's a new version of it.
There is?
Yes.
Okay.
A third version?
With Keke Palmer and Jimmy Fallon.
Really?
Yes.
I want Alan Ludden.
I don't think Alan's available at this time.
I want... Burt Convy.
Yeah. Oh my gosh! Don't even get
that's me started.
That's super. Yeah, password. We're forget it. All right. Let's hit some scores up. Henry Machette is our producer tonight. If you give a little background music, we'd appreciate it. Kevin, you mentioned earlier there's Thursday scores to talk about. We've got them for you right now. If you didn't know what was going on yesterday, Northeast beat Cheltenham 24-20. Kevin, Abington and Council Rock North.
Abington is a winner, 45-13 over Council Rock North yesterday. Both teams are 1-1.
Interboro, Pottstown, 48-7. Interboro picks up their first win in the Battle of the 4A's. Kensington and Strathaven. Strathaven, just a monster of a team. They beat Kensington 50-6. Alney and Springford, Kevin. Score, maybe not indicative of the style of play.
Yeah, style of play, rough and tough. 35-8 belongs to the Rams. Springford, 35-8 over Alney. Springford is 2-0.
Yeah, Alney just dressing 27 players in that game. Upper Marion and Norristown, 5A battle right there. It is a touchdown win for Upper Marion, 21-14. Kev, South Philly and Samuel Fells.
Yeah, South Philly wins 44-0 over Fells. They are 1-0. Also, if you want to go down it, Belmont Charter, a 42-6 winner over Kip Cooper, New Jersey.
Overbrook stays unbeaten at 2-0. They beat Academy of Palumbo 30-8. Chichester and Cardinal O'Hara. Chichester, low-scoring affair, wins 7-3. Kevin, how about that Radnor-Springfield-Delco game?
Yeah, Springfield-Delco goes to 2-0. 36-0 winner over Radnor. Says Delco goes to Haverford next week. An interesting little battle on Delco.
Well, we take a look now at games tonight. Phoenixville, Bishop Shanahan. Anybody shocked here that Phoenixville just thumped Shanahan 35-7? It's a 5A against a 4A.
Yeah, Shanahan is really, I think, limited offensively on what they can do. And so Phoenixville's got some punch in it. They're going to be able to put some points up. When they get into the pack, can they keep the numbers down?
Adam Beach is back at Upper Moreland. No problem with Archbishop Carroll tonight, 41-13. Boyertown put 60 on the board last week with a new coach. Not so much luck tonight. They lose to Exeter 37-21.
We'll talk to John Donnelly in a few minutes, but CB East is a 42-0 winner over Ben Salem tonight. Patriots are 2-0. They get Saturn at home next week in their first night game under lights in 62 years.
Hey, Kev, and something we just real quick, you and I talked about off the air, big win last week for them on Saturday against Chambersburg.
Yeah, that was kind of a tone-setting win. They really needed a game like that to kind of establish, I think, in a lot of people's minds that they're a legit contender, and they are out of that Suburban One National. CB South is a 35-8 winner over Truman tonight. So CB South goes to 2-0. Boy, if you look at it, remember, all three CB teams last year made the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
So you have South is 2-0 and East 2-0.
Yeah, West loses to Upper Dublin. We talked about that earlier. How about this one? Marple Newtown, a 37-6 win over Pencrest. That's a league game, by the way. Plymouth White Marsh shuts out Methacton 34-0.
Owen J. Roberts is a 42-6 winner over Wissahickon tonight as the Pac Liberty team goes the 1-1. Wissahickon is 0-2. Chessmont American, a league game. Kennett, 42-14 winner over Oxford. Both teams finished that one at 1-1.
Galen Snyder picks up his first win in his return to Pensbury. First win in how many games, Darryl?
19.
19 games. They were winless a year ago. Congratulations to Galen and to the Falcons. They shut out 10-35-0.
And also congratulations to Lou Pacioli, who we know. Lou had a pathway named for him tonight at the stadium, and it was a big ceremony during halftime. Longtime athletic director and was familiar at William Tenney, and who was familiar to all of us as the head of the District 1 football committee.
And as we know, it's appropriate, it's a pathway, because as an athletic director, people walked all over him the entire
exactly.
time.
Exactly, a lot of times.
Is this thing on? All right, thank you. Hey, listen, the comedy is free, folks.
but it's free.
We get what we pay for, apparently.
Schuylkill Valley, and that's an old Don Rickles joke. Schuylkill Valley loses to Upper Perkiomen 31-14. Kevin, as I stay on the scores here, Unionville picks up their first win of the year. They beat Sun Valley Northley 35-14.
We'll go to a PAC Frontier team and a Catholic League team. Pottsgrove, 20-6 winner over West Catholic tonight. So West Catholic and Pottsgrove both 1-1. That's actually, for Pottsgrove, you're not going to get a lot of points out of it because it's a 2A team at West Catholic. Ruston, 47-0 in the Battle of Westchester. They beat Westchester Henderson to go 1-0.
All right, we continue to roll here on a Friday night. Kevin talked about this in the pregame. Assortment of games on Thursday, bunch of games here on Friday, and even more on Saturday, which makes it a fun-filled high school football weekend. True. Jenkintown shuts out Kip DuBois 45-0. Jenkintown, the Drakes, are 2-0.
Yeah, Drakes are pretty good. George School, 42-0 winner over Morrisville tonight. So George School, a non-PIAA team, is 1-0. Morrisville is 0-2.
Double D, what happened to the Bulldogs? The program is just...
Well, it's tough with numbers.
No, yeah, the numbers are just, they're getting worse and worse. I mean, God bless the kids and the coaching staff. They're giving it their all, but, you know, it's small schools. They, when they're down, they're down.
Hey, well, not down. How about we take a little visit, Double D, that tiny but cozy borough of Bristol? That's right. Warriors shut out Lower Moreland tonight, 35-0. We mentioned, Kevin, that Brian Hensel had some work to do today. Germantown Academy playing down in Ocean City against Simon Gratz.
Yeah, 28-0. Germantown Academy is a winner over Simon Gratz down in Ocean City, so he better be bringing pizza back up with us.
Right, yeah. That should be real good next Friday. I can't wait for that. Let's look at the public league. Dobbin's Tech taking on Roxborough, a 14-6 win for Dobbin Tech's. Dobbin Tech. Thank you very much.
Plural. Single.
I could spell quaff, but I cannot say plural. Washington shuts out Mass Bomb 38-0. Kevin.
It was Central, a 42-0 win over Volk. So Central is now 1-1. Volk lost their opener. MLK and Chestnut Hill Academy, all the Blue Devils at this one, 48-16. Springside Chestnut Hill Academy. My apologies, that is the formal name of the school, over Martin Luther King. Episcopal Academy, another one of those independent, well, Interact teams. 34-8 winner over Comwell Egan tonight. Egan is 1-1.
Yeah, you boys are talking about Pittsburgh Central Catholic tonight. Lincoln goes out there. Kevin says takes a lot of guts. It truly does. And he put up quite a showing, to be honest with you. They do lose, but they lose 35-22. So Lincoln now a little bit familiar with next week's opponent, Mastery Charter. So it'll be probably easier to coach him up for that one.
Yeah, it will be. Ryan is a 34-0 winner over Frankfurt tonight. But the Pioneers, who were undefeated until they lost to Imhotep last year.
Yes.
Are 0-2, having lost the two Northeast teams. They lost to GW last week, and they lose to Ryan this week. So Ryan is 1-0. Ryan gets judged next Saturday afternoon in the rivalry game, which I won't be at.
And that's it. Who's hosting that?
It's actually at Northeast.
Oh, so it's
they
at the
go for the bigger crowd. They go to the super site for the bigger crowd.
Oh, that's neat. Roman Catholic, 41-14 winner over Trinity. Trinity comes out of the mid-pen. District 3 team, they're a 2A school. And, well, Kevin, we can finally go to our Saturday schedule. You had mentioned earlier a whole lot, well, not a whole lot, but enough to keep your attention tomorrow.
Yeah, enough for tomorrow. It's Bartram and Chester tomorrow. They will play at Chester. I believe that's 11 a.m., right? Did I just see that correctly?
That is correct.
Penn Charter, Newman Goretti both will start their seasons on Saturday afternoon at noon. At the South Philly Supersite, Mastery Charter and Beacon Hill, Virginia. They'll play at Lincoln tomorrow afternoon. I believe that's a 1 o'clock start. And in Ocean City, it's Pope John Paul II against Father Judge. That's a 4 o'clock start. And that is a game where, to be honest, Judge, after losing Alney, they need to bounce back and show that they can compete against pretty decent competition.
Yeah, we had mentioned Alney's loss yesterday to Springford, the Rams, 35-8, I think was the final score.
Yeah.
But every report we saw was the score really doesn't ring true of how the game went, that there was a lot of fight in that Alney team. So I like what you say.
Big
Judge
line,
Judge is going to be tested, yeah.
Yeah, Judge was manhandled along the line last week. So it's going to be interesting to see if Pope John Paul II can kind of push them back. And if they pushed him back, boy, that's a bad sign for the Crusaders for the rest of the year.
Hey, don't forget about our poll question. And the poll question, in essence, is should the public and private schools be allowed to play on the same playing field for a state championship at WPHT Scores or at Kevin Cooney? We will, if you have a response, leave it. And
leave it,
we'll read it on the air. We'll talk about it, you know, open it up for conversation. Coming up in just a few moments, we talked about what a great game State College in Downingtown East was. Pete DiGiovanni is going to join us after the break. We'll hit the scores again. And then coming up closer to 11 o'clock, we're going to talk to John Donnelly, Central Bucks East head coach. John's been there for a dozen years, always in the playoff hunt every year. But the big news is not so much starting 2-0 and beating Bensalem tonight, is they're going to play a home night game for the first time in 62 years. And you say, Jeff, how is that possible? Kevin talked about it earlier. They shared a field with Central Bucks West for many, many years. So this is theirs, and they did a great job putting the field up. First, it was day games only, Kevin, if you remember.
Yep.
It was always Saturday games.
Saturday, 11 a.m.
Yeah, and I'd like to talk to John and see, you know, the difference prepping for a Saturday game or getting ready for a normal Friday night game. We'll talk about that. That's coming up. That scores, more writers. It's all happening here on a holiday weekend. The Odyssey app, don't forget about that. You can catch us there. Also, right here at 1210 WPHT.
It's the Friday Night High School Football Scoreboard Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Back here on Friday night, it's the High School Football Scoreboard Show. Henry Michette handling engineering and producing tours, chores. And the music, I like having the music back, Kevin. And we give Henry, like, carte blanche, just go crazy, whatever you want to do. And it's been fun, him and Phil. We didn't have music last year, if you remember correctly.
I remember.
Yeah. All right, so listeners, we got the poll question. Should the public and private schools be able to play on the same field for a state championship at WPHT Scores or at Kevin Cooney? You can get the questions there. Let's go to Pete DiGiovanni, Daily Local, joins us for the first time this season. And, Pete, it's great to have you back and great to have you part of the show.
Oh, thank you very much. It's my pleasure.
Hey, so you have Downingtown East in State College tonight, and Downingtown East loses it late, 32-31. We're going to talk about Downingtown East, but Kevin and I and Darryl kind of singing the praises of State College coming out of District 6. What kind of opponent is or was State College tonight for Downingtown East?
I'm going to tell you, State College, one of the best 6A teams in the state. They came in, and really, they're a physical team. They threw for over 250 yards with two different quarterbacks. They had 149 yards rushing, and they have a lot of playmakers, and they're going to be a force up there in District 6 and beyond, I think, in the playoffs. I think it's going to be them and Harrisburg battling it out, you know, when we get to early November.
Well, Harrisburg is a preseason favorite, I know, coming out of Central Pennsylvania. I don't want this to sound like a silly question, but there's good losses and bad losses, maybe. Is this not such a bad loss for Downingtown East in the big picture?
It's not a bad loss. In fact, especially when you consider they did not have their starting quarterback tonight. He had broke his wrist late in the Pennridge game last week in the win over Pennridge, and he's going to be out 3 to 4 weeks. So they tried a lot of different things. They went Wildcat formation to try to help their sophomore quarterback at times, and they had their senior running back Bo Horvath carried the ball 38 times for 248 yards and three touchdowns. Horvath was just a monster. He's a lacrosse guy going to Lehigh.
Right.
He's a high school All-America lacrosse player, and he's really a tough kid. I think he should think about it, maybe a college future up at Lehigh in football. But they just ran out of gas, basically, guys, and State College went on a 92-yard, 10-play drive. They consumed the last 6:50 of the game, and they deserve the win. As Coach Mike Matta of Downingtown, he said, we weren't shorthanded. We just didn't make enough plays, and they made a couple plays at the end.
Yeah.
Very good football game. One of the best high school football games you'll ever want to see.
Pete, when you look at it, they go to Pembridge last week, and they throw 31 up. Tonight they throw 31 up against State College, even with a backup quarterback. I mean, the idea of Downingtown East is not – offense never seems to be the problem with Downingtown East. Would you agree? I mean, having covered them for a number of years, it always seems like Mattis teams can get into the 30s. I guess the question is, against better teams, can they keep people from scoring in the 30s?
It's a great point, Kevin. I'm going to tell you that they always move the football behind a physical, big offensive line. They put a lot of work in the weight room. It seems like they always have a back or two that can run. But again, their secondary hurts them. And year after year, it's been their Achilles heel, and it hurt them tonight.
Why can't they find secondary people, Pete? Why do they always have trouble in the same spot?
Yeah, he does not play. You know, he chooses not to play his offensive guys both ways.
Both ways.
Oh,
right.
Okay.
And and it looks like it's going to be their Achilles heel again this year. And you know, they've got Coatesville on that schedule, and you know, Coatesville's got tons of speed, and that's what usually does them in. It's a great point you made, and it's a shame because they're a tough, physical, well-coached football team, but they just haven't seemed to have that speed on the back end, you know?
I mean, it's a good conference. Downingtown East plays out of the Chestmont National, you know, with some of the competition they have there. All right, so State College is a team that you feel that we'll be talking about down the road when we go big playoff picture.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so, Cal. I don't think I'm getting too excited in the moment, but they're a tough physical football team, and they hit. And usually Downingtown East their physicality really helps them in these games, but they were in a battle tonight.
Pete, great having you back on the show. Looking forward to you contributing throughout here the rest of the season.
Thanks,
my
Pete.
Friend.
Okay, guys. Take care. Have a great weekend.
Yep.
You too. Great holiday weekend. Pete DiGiovanni from the Daily Local letting us know that Downingtown East out physical tonight against State College. And Kev, we talked about this coming out of District 6. I'm talking about the State College. The schedule that they have, they're going to have to play Altoona, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They're going to have to play Harrisburg, which is an upper-tier team. They also have to play Cumberland Valley and Central Dauphin. But just talking to people and reading things, down year for Cumberland Valley and Central Dauphin. So,
and CD East, too. CD East is down as well.
Yeah, so you've got Altoona, you've got Harrisburg. Beyond that, who knows what they can do.
And look, I mean, the people in the central part of the state are listening to us on the Odyssey app or on the Signal. They know that State College, the Little Lions are one of those teams that is just going to be there at the end. The question is, can you beat a District 7 team? And that is the biggest concern. And I don't know they can, but they're going to give them a fight. You know that.
Now, you brought it up, District 7, and the Whippial, the W-P-I-A-L, the Whippial. That's the first time we got to say that this year. By the way, Downingtown East, you talked about playing Penridge last week. Remember, Mike Matta was worried about Penridge defense. I don't know so far. They've got another road. They've got a road game.
They go Del Valle. Del Valle. All the way up in Scranton.
Scranton. Yeah, boys in Scranton at the feed store there.
Yeah.
It's Bishop Shanahan after that. So, yeah, it's this schedule start to get interesting, more interesting once we get into some of the
league matchups. Yeah, it does. And their schedule's backloaded, obviously, with Coatesville and Downtown West at the end. They have Academy Park in there as well, I believe,
right.
Towards the end. You know, October 1st is when we'll have a real good feel whether Downtown East is a true contender, but the lack of speed's going to hurt them.
Now, we also, before we go to our break, and John Donnelly from Central Bucks East is going to talk about their first night game school history coming up.
Mm-hmm.
We have an announcement of a really great guest coming up.
Yeah, we're finalizing it. Bob Lombardi, who is the head of the PIAA, the executive director of the PIAA, will be on this show. We're thinking it's going to be in 2 weeks. We're trying to work the schedule. There's going to be a decision on the name, image, likeness.
The NIL,
which has been a big college topic. Well, it's also becoming a high school topic. It's going to be, I think, that week before he comes on. So we'll have a better idea on that before when we bring him on. Hopefully in 2 weeks from tonight.
Let me ask you, boys. You've known me for 25, 30 years. You've known me for 20 years. What could this boy get in his prime for his image? This guy right here, you're looking at him. What can I get for my image?
Nickel.
Dirty washcloth.
All right, I'll take it. When we come back, John Donnelly, Central Bucks East, is going to join us. We're going to roll some more scores. We've got the Reuters coming up at the top of the hour. It's a fun holiday weekend version on the Odyssey app and on the Signal, the High School Football Scoreboard Show on 1210 WPHT.
Calling on ETCO New Jersey to follow 1210 WPHT on the free Odyssey app.
Download it now.
Download it now.
Back here, High School Football Scoreboard Show, Odyssey app, Signal 1210 WPHT. Love music on the return. You kind of pop your head too, Kev. You like that?
Absolutely.
Kevin Cooney, Daryl Dobis, and I'm Jeff Nolan. Hey, John Donnelly's going to join us in just a minute. Kev, you got a couple score updates?
Yeah, we're almost close to a complete board for tonight. Ridley, 28-10 over Haverford. That's a final. Ridley is 1-1. They'll play PW next week. Actually, I don't think that's right. Haverford is also 1-1. They'll get Springfield Delco. Avengrove, a 29-20 winner over Penwood. That's a final. Garnet Valley, 55-20 over Upper Darby. That's a final. Conestoga in a squeaker beats Lower Marion 15-14. That's a final. And ANC beats New Hope Solbury 34-8. So we have three games left out tonight. Springfield Monco Harridan, Great Valley Westchester East. And hold on here. I'm missing one more. Yeah. It is the School of the Future, West Philly. Yeah. Those are the games we do not have.
Those are the scores we should have first.
School of the Future. West Philly, because that's an afternoon game.
Yeah, but it's a School of the Future. We should have next week's score already.
Yeah,
we should have known that.
I'm telling you, the comedy is free, all right? The comedy is absolutely free. Hey, don't forget our poll question.
How much caffeine did you have today?
A lot.
Not enough.
Should public and private schools play in the same pool for a state championship? That is our poll question. We welcome a gentleman. It's been a longtime friend of the show, and I know him well enough not to ask him that question on the air, because he would call me privately and say, Jeff, why did you ask me that question on the air? And I'm talking about the head coach of Central Bucks East, John Donnelly. Hi, John.
Hey, guys. Can I chime in on your poll question there?
Most definitely.
Sure. Go ahead.
If that's not 100% like in favor of separating, people got to get a lobotomy, because it's that's a no-brainer.
John, would you like the answer that so far through about 100 votes?
Sure.
52-43. Not an even playing field. 52.8 to 43.1, not an even playing field. Not quite sure, 4.2. Those are the people who just stand at the vending machine all day deciding between the M&Ms and the peanuts.
Well, listen, John, you're big enough just to shake the machine and get it for free. But let's talk a little bit about – I want to talk about the big event, the big game next week. You're off to a great start, though. You shut out Ben Salem today, 80 points in two games. Kevin and I talked about what for us flew under the radar because it was a Saturday game. You went on the road to Chambersburg and won 38-21 last week.
Yeah, it was. You know, we were part of this kickoff classic there, the Chambersburg Peach Bowl, and it was six games over 2 days. There was, I think five different districts that were represented, two different states. It was really just a great day. It was well run. Their AD did a phenomenal job, and it was a great venue. It was just first class the whole way, and it was a business trip for us. It was it's a 3-hour ride in a bus, and we planned out things pretty well, and we're able to get out of there with a win.
Well, you're 2-0 to start the season. Like I said, the shutout win tonight on the road against Ben Salem. So you've had 2 weeks to look at this team. I know you always have expectations. Where's this team? Your expectations, how do they match up early on?
Well, it's really a special group. And every year, every team is different, their identity and kind of what makes up their DNA. But we finally got away to team camp again this year, which we hadn't done because of COVID and a variety of other things. We got up to East Stroudsburg for that. And we really could see what the team was really made of. And, 7-on-7s is good for timing and so forth. But this team camp is good on so many levels. And we knew coming out of that we had something, pretty special. There's still a lot of football left, and the road only gets harder in the SOL. We feel really good about these guys. There's a lot of experience. They really like each other, and not that teams in the past didn't, but there's just something, can't really quite put your finger on it, but it's moving in the right direction right now.
John, you guys have played at your place now. It's what, 7 years, 8 years?
Yeah, since 2015. Yep.
Wow. I wish I remembered my anniversary that well. Anyway, but not you had an advantage with the Saturday games in a lot of ways, because teams tend to, we talked about this earlier, teams tend to be a little sleepy on Saturday mornings when you would have an 11 o'clock game or whatever. But how much does it benefit your guys to finally have a home field where you can play a Friday night?
Yeah, we really sold it as like, hey, look, we're built for this, for Saturdays. It's our thing. And it was, we were comfortable with that schedule. We would sometimes play, a Saturday and have another game on a Saturday the following week, or it was Friday to Saturday or Saturday to Friday. And we just always were just built for it, and because it was what we were doing. And it was nice to, I still remember the first game and going out there and just thinking about all the people that had made that happen. And, the guys like Larry Green that had worked so long to have it. And we were fortunate enough to be the kind of the torchbearers there. So, it's run its course. And, when the lights went up in April, it was, it was rumored that it was going to be happening. And I mean, the lights literally went up, like it seemed like in a day. And it's just been, we had a lighting ceremony, the other week with all the other fall sports. So we are fired up. I mean, for forever we had to get on a bus, whether we were home or away, and played our games at War Memorial. Now we had Saturday games and had a home, and now we're going to have Friday nights. And it's the buildup is already beginning. I think it's going to be a great atmosphere against a really good Southerton football team.
And you mentioned Larry Green. Next week is the Greenout game as well, which I believe is for cancer research, correct?
No, it's for – well, you're correct. And it's in honor of Larry Green.
Of Larry, right.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a big day and a special day. And, you know, our kids are well aware. We still wear on opposite our E on our helmet. We have the LG decal because, you know, Larry Green is CB's football and always will be.
Yeah, and John, I just, for our audience that may not know, Larry was the former head coach at CB East, also at Pensbury, that passed away from cancer, and just a tremendous individual.
100%. Beloved teacher, coach, mentor, you know, dearly missed, but still remembered.
Well, John, I want to bring this final point from me. You know, you guys and South and West, I mean, there were some lean years there for in Central Bucks for a while, but all three of you made the playoffs last year, and you're all competitive, and it feels like that Central Bucks football is coming back. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, look, I have high regard for Tom and Rob Rowan and what those guys do with their programs. I think, you know, you've got three really committed guys here in the district. And just think, if we could combine all three schools, like some schools in our conference, with the size of their population. But I think...
What initials would that be, John?
You already answered one question for us. Don't make him ask the second.
We have high respect for them, too. But for those two, I think those guys do a phenomenal job. And, you know, the product that is shown on the field is, you know, it doesn't come easy. And I think all three of us, I think, yeah, we do a good job of making the entire district proud. And, you know, Tom is, Rob I've gotten to know more recently, but, you know, Tom Hetchett and I go back a long way. Our families kind of grew up together and lived in the same neighborhood. I've helped him move twice. We go back a long way, and, you know, we root for each other, except the one time of year we play each other. And same thing, I think, goes for West.
Hey, John, I know we had you on for the selection show last year, but it's great getting you on with us here on this station. We've been doing this long enough, boys. There's only one way to end a phone call with John Donnelly. 1, 2, 3, go East.
And we'll see you under the lights.
See you under the lights, pal. Take care.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having us.
All right. That is John Donnelly. Kev, that's a great game. I mean, I understand the pomp circumstance of the lights.
Yeah, now but after
Southerton
Saturn...
is 2-0,
yeah,
and they're coming off an emotional win, the 309 bowl win over Penn Ridge. So they've got to get themselves back up to go against a supercharged CB East team.
And this is a tone-setting game. This really is.
I mean,
for the rest of the season, it's the last week before you go fully in the league. It's a tone setter, I think, for both teams.
All right. Well, we've set the tone for the first hour at least. Nate Heckenberger is going to join us in the next hour. We'll talk about Coatesville. We've got Drew Markle. He'll talk about Southerton. Also, Matt DeGeorge is going to talk about the Bonaprendi game. We've got scores and highlights. Also, our poll question, should the public and private schools play in the same equal field for a state championship? John Donnelly says, well,
John was on the fence on that one.
Yeah, John was on the fence. But you're listening to the High School Football Scoreboard Show on a holiday Friday night on the Odyssey app, also on the Signal at 1210 WPHT.
WPHT. WPHT HD. WOGL HD3. Philadelphia. Always live on the free Odyssey app. Now, from the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter, it's the Scoreboard Show. The Friday Night High School Football Scoreboard Show with Jeff Nolan and Kevin Cooney.
Hour number two of the show takes us right up to midnight. It's a holiday weekend. We wish everybody a happy, healthy, and safe one as well as we all wind down summer together. In studio, Kevin Cooney is with me. Daryl Dopus is here. Brian Hensel, he is out coaching. He was coaching today. He'll be back next Friday. I'm Jeff Nolan. Henry Machette engineers and makes us sound as good as we do. Kevin, remind everybody of our poll question, and we'll talk more at the bottom of the hour about this.
Yeah, our poll question, which is our weekly feature here, which is, should public and private schools play in the same pool for a state championship? Yes, a true state champion. Two, No, not an even field. Or three, not quite sure. At this point, 51%, 51.4% say no, not an even field. 44.6 say yes, a true state championship. We have about 55 minutes left on that poll, so we'll talk about it, as Jeff said, at the bottom of the hour.
And Kevin, just for our audience members that may not aren't clear about what we're talking about, right, what the big thing is, explain that to
them. The big thing is that the PIAA has public and private teams that are in the pool, the same pool together. Okay, there are some states like New Jersey that used to have it public and private were split apart.
And they won their own individual championships.
Public schools traditionally go from a boundary area where you can pick kids from a certain area and that's
a
it.
A school district.
Right, a school district. Charters and privates and tend to go from a larger area, so there is a belief among many coaches and everything that it is an unfair advantage. And we'll talk again more about it and give our thoughts
at the bottom of the hour. And a good chance to remind everybody that Bob Lombardi, who heads up the PIAA,
will be on our
about 2 weeks.
Weeks, we're thinking. Yeah. So we'll also tweet out when he's back on at WPHT Scores. That's where you can get this poll at WPHT Scores or on my Twitter account at Kevin Cooney.
So we'll do that. Also, Nate Heckenberger is going to join us in a little bit. Let's roll some scores before we get to Nate, and we'll get Henry to cue up a little music in there because I think it'll bounce to my scores here. All right, let's go our first and 10 at 10, Kev. Coatesville and Academy Park. Coatesville goes 2-0. Offensive output by the Raiders. It's a 35-0 win over Academy Park.
North Penn is a winner. They bounced back after that tough loss to LaSalle last week. They beat Quakertown 49-7.
Malvern Prep says to LaSalle, no, means points 35-0. Malvern Prep shuts out LaSalle.
Upper Dublin is 1-0 in their first game back in their home park at Cardinal Stadium. They beat CB West 35-7.
Pete DiGiovanni tells us that State College is for real. They come from behind to beat Downingtown East. Downingtown East, no slouch.
Haverford School is a winner, 14-12 tonight over Bonner Prendy.
And one of our most popular correspondents, Matt DeGeorge, will talk about that in a little bit. Downingtown West also beat tonight Perk Valley, victimizes them 30-29.
Can I admire this music for a second?
I know, it's great, isn't it?
Neshaminy is 2-0. 21-7 win over Council Rock South tonight at Walt Snyder Stadium.
Henry, you're quickly becoming our favorite. Don't tell Phil. Satterton, Penn Ridge, 24-21. Big Red, Kev, to start the year, 2-0.
2-0.
District and they get, champs 2 years ago.
And they go to CB East next week.
Yeah.
St. Joe Prep and St. Peter's, big game tomorrow night at Rutgers. That will be a 7:30 game. We go to more scores.
Let's go Thursday night, Kev, and I'll just go down these real quick, and you can set for the Fridays, okay? Yesterday, if you didn't hear it, you didn't see it, you didn't talk about it, Northeast beats Cheltenham 24-20. Abington, no problems with Council Rock. North 45-13 score there. Interboro puts up 48 on the scoreboard against Pottstown, 48-7. Strathaven, a 50-6 win over Kensington. Springford and Alney dressing 27 players, 35-8. Springford wins that one. Kevin talking about Alney on deck for Father Judge. Upper Marion, a touchdown better than Norristown, 21-14. Norristown drops to 0-2. Upper Marion picks up their first win. Samuel Fell shut out against South Philly, 44-0. It was Belmont Charter putting a beating on Kip Cooper. Kip Cooper, that's going to be my next son's name. Kip Cooper, 42-6. I have another son. My wife is going to go, where did he come from? Overbrook beats Academy of Palumbo, 30-8. Chichester beats O'Hara, 7-3. Shutout win for Springfield Delco. They take care of Radnor, 36-0.
Correction on one thing. I only played Judge last week.
That's what I said. They have, who does Judge have next week?
Judge has Ryan next
week. Ryan next week.
Yes.
That's what I was saying.
All right, let's go to the Friday night scores. Sheet one, if you will, out of our couple sheets. Phoenixville, 35.
The word is sheet, folks. Sheet.
Yes. Phoenixville, 35-7 winner over Bishop Shanahan. Phoenixville goes to 1-1. Ridley, a 28-10 winner over Haverford. So the Green Raiders are now 1-1 as well. Avengrove, a 29-20 win tonight on the road at Penwood. Upper Moreland, 41-13. They beat Archbishop Carroll from the Catholic League. Boyertown and Exeter. It's Exeter's 2-0, 37-21 winner
hey, Kev,
over
my
the Bears.
My buddy Rick Hunter checked in with that score. I want to give him props.
Yeah, absolutely. CBs, we just talked to John Donnelly. 42-0. They shut out Ben Salem tonight on the road at home at 2-0. The face Saturday. Central Buck South, They're 2-0, 35-8 winner over Truman, as Chris Berman will cue up that music, I'm sure, again. Garnet Valley, 55-20 over Upper Darby. That's a final, as Garnet Valley is now 2-0. Westchester East and Great Valley, not to be confused with Garnet Valley. Great Valley, 34-16 winner over Westchester East. Harrodin and Springfield Monco, we don't have a score on that yet. Conestoga, 15-14 winner over Lower Merion. So the Pioneers will go to 2-0. Marple Newtown, 37-6 over Pencrest. That's a final in the Central League tonight. PW is on the board for this year. 34-0 win over Methacton, who's 0-2. Owen J. Roberts, 42-6 over Wissahickon.
All right. Keep you done?
I'm almost done this
sheet. Okay, here we go.
Okay. Tennant, 42-14 winner over Oxford. Pensbury, 35-0 over William Tennant. They snap a 19-game losing streak.
Woo!
First win with in Galen Snyder's second term.
All right.
The Falcons.
Do I have to call the paramedics? You okay?
I'm fine.
You
I got my
good
water.
To go.
I'm good.
All right.
I wish I didn't get the spicy wings.
Hey, how about this one? Okay, this is sheet number two. What am I saying? Sheet, right?
Yes.
It's sheet unless you're down south with southern accent. Then it sounds a little bit different, yeah. Right? Okay. All right. Kip DuBois, one of my favorite rock bands from the 90s. Kip DuBois shut out by Jenkintown 45-0. George Gill shuts out Marsville 42-0. ANC Academy New Church, a 34-8 winner over New Hope Solbury. Bristol shuts out Lower Moreland 35-0. Simon Gratz couldn't put any points on the boards. They lose to Germantown Academy. And the great defensive job done by Brian Hensel and the defense. Brian's just an advisor. 28-0 win for Germantown Academy. First win of the year. They got the Hill School next week. Dobbin Tech beats Roxborough 14-6. George Washington beats Jules Massbaum 38-0. A shutout win for Central over Vox 42-0. Chestnut Hill Academy, they beat MLK 48-16. A 34-8 win for Episcopal Academy over Conwell Egan Catholic. Lincoln heads out west. Now they take on Central Catholic. 35-22 win for Pittsburgh Central Catholic. What league do they play in, Kevin?
The Whippeel.
Oh, they do. Archbishop Ryan shuts out Frankfurt 34-0. Roman Catholic takes care of Trinity without any problems, 41-14.
Four final scores to wrap this up. Upper Perky Yeoman, 31-14 winner over Schuylkill Valley. Unionville ain't going to play Sun Valley, 35-14 winner tonight to get their first win of the year. Pottsgrove, 20-6 winner over West Catholic. And Ruston, 47-0 over Henderson. That is week two.
Well, wait, Kevin. Ask me, are there any Saturday
games? Well,
thank you for asking, Kevin, because we do have games tomorrow, and that's Bartram taking on Chester. It's Penn Charter taking on Newman Goretti. It's Mastery Charter taking on visiting Beacon Hill of Virginia. And Pope John Paul II takes on the Father Judge Coonies. That is all happening tomorrow.
At Ocean City, we should point out.
And Kevin is going to be there.
Yes.
Working the PA.
Yeah, and pretty much just going to get cheap boardwalk food.
Good for you. Brian Hensel not here tonight. He actually elected to stay down. Him and his wife are going to spend a couple days. He'll be back next week on the show. Daryl Dobas sits
Is Brian going in? Brian coming over to see me tomorrow night?
He might.
4 o'clock?
You got his phone number. Text him.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of phone numbers, got a guy on the phone. We pick up his number quite a bit over the past season and a half. Nate Heckenberger joins us from the Daily Local. And, Nate, you had two games, and I just want to make this very clear. We are paying you for both games tonight.
That's correct. Yeah, I think it's on the salary.
Academy Park at Coatesville. It made our top, our first and 10 at 10 tonight. Coatesville, though, no problem, 35-0 win over Academy Park.
Yeah, it was one of those games, a 1 o'clock game on a Friday. It looked like that on the field. It was just kind of one of those messy, you know, lots of like pre-snap penalties before the snap and all that. And the first half was kind of sloppy. Coatesville took a while to kind of get their footing. Obviously, their defense was outstanding. They didn't give up – I think they held Academy Park to negative yards on the ground. And then obviously the offense caught up in the second half and kind of rolled then.
You know, Nate, it's funny now. You know, they beat Pensbury, who was overmatched last week, but they put up 28. You know, talent-wise, you would have thought maybe they would have put up more. Today, they put up 35 on Academy Park, which is a better team, I think, than most people would say than Pensbury. But they're still having these sloppy penalties. So what was Matt Ortega's kind of feeling after this one?
Yeah, he was all right with it. I asked him about, you know, the 1 o'clock start on a Friday, and he said they were a little nervous about it just with the change of routine and all that. And, you know, obviously we talked about Harrison Soucy, a third-year starter there at quarterback, so that gives them a lot of stability in that position. But outside of him, they're trying to find a reliable running attack outside of Soucy, who's kind of their main ball carrier, and they got two new wide receivers. So a lot of new parts, even though they got a veteran at quarterback, still trying to find their rhythm. But their defense is just dominant at this point.
One more on the Coatesville thing before we get to your second game. To me, we've seen different schools of thought on teams and their non-conference schedules. You know, we see Downingtown East, who goes to Pembridge, and then they're going to have a game up at Scranton next week. We've seen North Penn and all that. How does Ortega kind of view these first games before he gets into that league competition, where he sees the tougher teams towards the end, obviously, in the Downingtown East and Downingtown West?
I think Coatesville has gotten to the point as a program where they're kind of like North Penn got a few years ago, and it's just hard to find teams that are willing to come play them. They've been so dominant for so long. I know the Chesmont's doing a little crossover with the Del Val. That's why they played Academy Park today. But yeah, I know they got a big matchup against Central Dauphin next week. That's where Ortega graduated from. So he tries to load up as much as he can, but it's a matter of trying to find people that are willing to actually play Coatesville at this point.
Yeah, Nate Heckenberger from the Daily Local talking about one of two games he covered, the Academy Park Coatesville game. Coatesville shuts out Academy Park 35-0. You mentioned Central Dauphin. They lost tonight to Wilson Westlawn, by the way. 0-2 to start the season, so you would think the advantage goes to Coatesville and Coach Ortega next week. I jumped the gun last week, as you well know, talking about Bob Bryce, a new head coach at Westchester Henderson. They took on Ruston tonight, shut out 47-0. First of all, these are two teams that did not play last week. Did they look like teams that waited a couple weeks to play? What was the game like itself?
Well, I mean, Ruston looked like they were ready to go. First kickoff of the game, Damon Jacobs, younger brother of Deshaun Jacobs, who's a superstar for them last year. But Damon Jacobs took it 86 yards to the house on the first play, so they were kind of off and rolling from the get-go. Henderson, obviously, with the new coach, Bob Bryce, they're trying to get a new culture in there, and obviously they've been down for the past few years. So it's just going to take some time. I don't think it was necessarily a sloppy game, having not played last week, but it was just a matter of two different programs at two different levels at this point.
Ruston next gets Westchester East next week, we should point out. So Mike St. Clair's crew, I mean, is this team going to put up this kind of offensive total? And obviously they had special teams score tonight, but I mean, are they a team that you could easily project scoring in the 30s and 40s most nights?
I think so. I think they're probably the pick to win the American Division in the Chesmont. I think Unionville's a little younger this year, and Kennett might be the other contender there. But, yeah, I think, I mean, Ruston's got two good running backs, Jacobs, and they have a sophomore, Chase Hatton, who will be around for the next few years. He's pretty tough. They just have a good running game. They got a quarterback who, well, he only threw the ball five or six times a night, so we're not too sure. But, you know, they don't throw the ball a ton, so they don't put that risk out there. And, obviously, they just play, you know, sturdy defense every year, so they're always in it.
And a 5A team in District 1 obviously can make some noise in the sense of there's not a lot of super 5A teams in District 1.
Well,
Strathaven,
Nate,
and
yeah, but Nate, well, Strathaven, Nate, correct me if I'm wrong. This is the first game that they got that bad taste out of their mouth from last year's district title game, where they lost on a 2-point conversion in overtime to Strathaven, right?
Yeah, no, that's true. I mean, I know that one sits with them still. I was there in camp, and they were even talking about it then in camp, so I know the coaches, that one's not going to probably ever fade. But, yeah, it was good to come out and beat a crosstown rival. And, yeah, it was kind of fun at the end of the game. Things got a little chippy in the lines. I guess the coaches obviously know each other real well. But Ruston punter on 4th and 24 did like a rugby-style punt, and he kind of took the edge. There was no one there, so he ran for it, made it 23.5 yards, but didn't get the last inch. But, Henderson was not too happy going up 42-0 at that point. So there was some words spoken in line, and points, you know, fingers pointed and all that. So it was kind of fun. That was about as exciting as it got tonight.
Hey, did you feel like you worked two games today?
I got the sunburn to prove it.
Hey, Nate, listen, love your contributions. Love the fact you joined us, and we'll talk throughout the year, buddy.
All right, thanks for having
me. Thanks, Nate.
All right, Nate Heckenberger, Daily Local. Two games, the Coatesville win and the Ruston win over Henderson.
There are all those punters causing trouble again.
Hey, I want to share this with you.
Punters are people, too.
They are.
I have the shirt to prove it.
So real quick before we go to break there, one of the greatest things about doing this is that you do, as long as we've been doing this, is that you see players grow into adults and whatever. I'm at Reading the other day, and the Rumble Ponies are in from Binghamton. Coming to the plate, number four, Brandon McIlwain, Council Rock North quarterback back in 2015.
Holy cow, and one heck of an outfield.
Yeah.
What an arm.
He's in double-A ball right now.
He went to South Carolina.
Coastal, wasn't it?
No, South Carolina.
In fact, he started the spring game that was on ESPN, then left South Carolina after his freshman year.
For California.
Right.
Yeah. I thought it was just so cool.
Quick story about him real fast. I was umpiring third base district final between North Penn and Council Rock North. I think North Penn won, or Council Rock won. Kevin Monero, our buddy.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah.
PA guy, head coach, North Penn. Sent his fastest runner on a hit and run, first to third. Ball got hit into just an easy hit to right field. McIlwain comes up gunning. The runner was halfway around second. Ball comes in. It just gets released out of his hand. Monero at third base puts up the stop sign. Sends him back from 300 feet away. This ball comes in. He puts it on a dime. You heard it.
Mm.
From 300 feet away.
Just an athlete, man. Just an athlete.
Right on the button on the bag. And Monero looked at me and he just shook his head like, holy cow.
Well, it's football players. No, I mean, the greatest thing is playing more than one sport. We hear about Bo Horvath is a tremendous lacrosse player.
Yep.
Pete's telling us earlier that, the kid should consider playing some football.
Yeah.
The advantage of being more than a one sport star.
More options, and it keeps you maybe in better shape. It reduces the wear and tear that sometimes goes along.
Yeah, different muscle groups. The only bummer is that if you're playing constantly, you're also getting beat up. It's kind of a 50-50 thing, but like I said, you're not killing your rotator cuff by always pitching because now you're playing a different sport. You're just working different things. And besides, what's wrong with playing while you're young?
No,
man? Do it
I
while
agree.
You can.
And it activates your brain. Like things like this that pop into my brain as we go to break, okay? We spelled the word quaff earlier. All right, so if you're drinking something or eating something with no calories, why do they have serving size? Think about that. There's no calories. Why do you have to determine a serving size? All right.
Well, look at the size of me. Do you really need to answer that?
I'm just saying there's no calories. Think about that. There's people driving right now going, what's he talking about? We're going to talk high school football scores and highlights. We've got Drew Markle coming up in just a few moments. Matt DeGeorge as well. It's a Friday holiday weekend. You've got us on the Odyssey app, and if not, on the AM dial at 1210 WPHT.
Don Stensland. Weekdays 10 till noon. Only on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
And on the free Odyssey app.
Sometimes you just want to listen to the music. Welcome back, everybody. High School Football Scoreboard Show settling into week number two. We will be with you each and every Friday night from 10 to midnight through the district final game, which is the Friday after Thanksgiving.
It's the 25th of November.
It's the Odyssey app. If you can't get the signal, 1210 WPHT. Our poll question, should the public and privates play on an equal playing field for a state championship? We'll talk about that more at the bottom of the hour. Kev, do you have an update on the poll?
Yeah, the poll question, 51.8% say no, they should not play on the same pool for a state championship. A true state champion, 44.7%, not quite sure, 3.5%. So they're still standing there jingling the change in their pockets.
People wonder how we get a lot of our information. A lot of people tweet scores to us. I want to point out, I think we haven't had him on the show yet. Andrew Robinson is a guy we get scores. Ed Morlock is a guy we get scores from. Tom Moore. Just these are people that we follow on Twitter, and they haven't been on with us yet, but we use their resources. We also use Eastern PA Football. That's Dave Micah's website. He's been doing it for more than 20 years. The Bible of high school football. If you're looking for current schedules, updated scores, where players are going, coaching vacancies, it's chock full of information. EasternPAFootball.com.
And I want to thank Dan Skowski, who is a who yesterday from one of the assistant coaches at South Philly, who sent us the information and stats on their win, 44-0 over Fells. And Jim Jenkinson, who is the head coach at Kamal Egan, who last week, and it got lost kind of in an email shuffle sometimes,
right.
Who sent us the Kamal Egan Upper Marion game last week. And Jim sends us all the info on that one.
And
as
I'm
well.
Putting you on the spot. Drew Markle is going to join us in a bit. Do you have any highlights from that South Philly win?
Yeah, let me give it to you.
Some individual performances.
250 yards rushing as a team in that game.
Wow.
I'm looking. Razan Parker, R-A-Z-A-N. Parker, 15 times, 124 yards, 3 touchdowns.
Oh, that's cool. That is great. Congratulations. And thanks to
Dan Skowski.
Dan, thank you very much. And all the public league coaches, ADs, we want to talk about your teams. We want to talk about your players. And, you know, we need to get together on the same page somehow to get information.
Yeah, we'd love to have your kids on here. We want to expose them as far as all the good things going on as much as we possibly can.
All right. Joining us on the phone right now is Drew Markle. We had Penridge and Satterton tonight. It's the 309 Bowl. Two teams separated by just a couple miles, and Drew's been following this game for many years. It was another good one, Drew.
It was. You guys had me on early this week. You could have waited until 5 or 12.
You know what? You give the guy prime time, and he still complains.
Drew, we were going to put you on the Apple TV broadcast of this show.
You're going to be the XM version at 12:30 on the ride home.
Yes.
My TV's not smart enough for that.
Exactly.
Well, he told me about your lack of technical savvy when it comes to electronics. Savvy?
Well, my IT support is home for the weekend from college. So.
Yes.
Hi. Tell the tech man we said hi. Satterton picks up a win. It got tight towards the end, didn't it?
It did, Jeff. Satterton coach Ed Gallagher after the game said, you know, he joked, like, I was ready to take my headset off and relax at the end of the third quarter because they were up 24-6 and in complete control. And then the next thing you know, Penridge scores, you know, two touchdowns to make it interesting. And, you know, had an onside kick, you know, with about a minute and a half to go that, you know, Satterton recovered. But, you know, good job by Penridge, you know, to keep fighting. You know, they're limited offensively. I mean, Brennan Fisher, the senior tailback who's gone to Army West Point, you know, he's a real deal, but, you know, he's kind of out there almost as a, you know, one man band a lot of the time, and you know, he helped bring him back though. So, you know, it's good. No, good game. It's a good rivalry game. And, you know, that's kind of what you expect.
Drew, when you look at it, you know, when we had Mike Mata on our preview show, he had talked about the fact that he thought the defense at Penridge was going to be outstanding. Well, last week they gave up 31. This week they give up 24. How much is the loss of Phil Picciotti really hurt them?
Well, I mean, obviously, Kev, anytime you lose a, you know, first-team All-State linebacker, it doesn't help.
Oklahoma commit, correct?
Oklahoma commit, yes. Yeah. You know, playing down at IMG Academy now. He was everywhere. And, you know, he was really good at rushing the quarterback. And, you know, he rarely, if ever, missed a tackle. I mean, that was, and he was a, you know, a sideline to sideline, you know, player. But sure. But, you know, they played a pretty good, I mean, Sean Purvey for Satterton had a 97-yard run. And he ran right up the middle, then just outran everybody. But, you know, that's a player of his caliber. That's what he does. You know, other than that, I mean, just, you know, Satterton had a, you know, they fought for, you know, for every inch. I mean, Penridge played better, you know, and their new first-year head coach, Chuck Berge, said, you know, we did a lot of things better, you know, this week than we did last week. And they're getting there. So, I mean, Satterton can come at you, though. They have a couple of nice backs. Then you have a player like Purvey, who's a, you know, a home run hitter who can, you know, he can score from anywhere. You know, that's just another wrinkle that, you know, a lot of teams don't have.
Drew, when you look at next week at Saturn and CB East, then we all know the hoopla that's going to go into that game. But in reality, who is that game bigger for as a measuring stick game as we go forward here? I mean, do we find out about whether East is for real? Because they play in the Continental. It's a little bit of an easier path for them. If they go to East and win a game on the road in a tough environment, I mean, what will that say about Saturday?
Okay, that's a good question. I think the game is more important for East.
Because of the sentimental tug and being the first game in the at night on a Friday night there?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not big on sentimentality in high school football. It's cool they get to play their first night game. That'll be exciting, and people will come out, and that's great.
It only lasts so long, bud.
The right, emotion. Exactly. Yeah. So, I think East needs to, this would be bigger for them because you're playing, it was only 2 years ago. I know with COVID, it seems like everything was 30 years ago, but, Saturn was winning a district title 2 years ago with some of these same players. So I think this is a bigger test, for East to see what they can do. They played Chambersburg, which I believe was a 2-win team last year, and they got the win tonight, but it gets a lot more real next week against Satterton, for the Patriots.
And we should point out for Satterton, next three games at East, then Rock North and Truman. So if Satterton can win that game, yes, they're going to be 5-0 probably when you get to Quakertown.
But the old shot in the foot.
Yeah, they have a history.
They have a history of shooting this, and Ed Gallagher would tell you that.
Look at their, they played, Haverford, they played Penridge, and now it's East. That's, that's three district playoff teams from a year ago.
Right. Yeah.
And they're 2-0. Okay.
Four of their first six games would be against teams that made the district playoffs last year, with Quakertown thrown in there as well.
Yeah, and I think if you asked Ed Gallagher before the season if you'd take 2-1 after three games, he would have said yeah.
Mm. Drew, what are you going to do with the extra time? Because we got you on early tonight.
I'm going to go into bed.
You're going draft prep, right?
The fantasy draft prep. Kev, after your show is over, I'm going to bed. I'm not going to miss the rest of your show.
Of course.
Such a lion.
Then I'll take the dog out and go to bed.
That's right. Boy. Drew, it's fun because of you on Friday nights. Thanks so much.
Gentlemen, I'll talk to you probably the same time next week.
Okay, yeah. After this one.
Yeah, you're getting 11:40, buddy.
All right, thanks. Guys. All right, Drew Markle letting us know that Satterton beats Penridge tonight. We stay on the phones. A guy who had way too much time on his hand because he had a 4 o'clock game.
And Cooney forgot to text him.
Forgot to text him until 5 minutes ago that we needed him. But he's always there when you need him. Matt DeGeorge from the Delco Times.
Hi, Matt.
You guys are lucky. We got earlier deadlines now, so I was almost asleep. You can thank Serena Williams for me still being awake.
So, Matt, we're at break, and Kevin looks at me and goes, I don't know if I texted him or not. I said, well, let's go find out, okay? We've been promoting it all night.
So are you throwing the fourth inning in San Francisco?
Yeah, he got to fill everybody in.
I mean, you want to watch me or Nick Nelson? Luckily, I mean, on the bright side, it's on Apple TV, so no one can watch it.
When we texted
Matt, he said, they were going to pull me in for the fourth inning, but yeah. I'll go on the air with you. Phillies are getting hammered tonight. So Bonner-Prendy-Haverford game tonight. First of all, I want to point out, I don't know if we talked about this earlier, Kevin. Matt, maybe you could chip in. Monday, after the scuffle on Friday night.
The incident Friday night.
The two teams got together, shook hands, players of the game and that sort of thing, which I thought was tremendous.
What a classy thing
to do.
Players of the non-game, since it didn't count as a game, apparently.
Right, but I mean, the Bonner-Prendy and Upper Darby, right?
Yeah.
They got together, they shook hands at center field, and I think they awarded a player of the game and everything. Right. And I looked at that, and I said, man, that is just beautiful that we get past it, and this is how we continue through it.
Absolutely, and because it's an incident that had nothing to do directly with any of the players on the field.
Right.
It was just an off the field thing that unfortunately happened near the school or on school grounds or whatever it may be. But that comes from it's an interesting neighborhood rivalry dynamic, and for people that don't know, Upper Darby and Bonner-Prendy are literally on the same block. Mm-hmm. Pretty much, they usually walk back and forth to the games when they play the opening week every year. And, Dave Barr is the coach at Upper Darby. He was an assistant on Jack Muldoon's staff at Bonner-Prendergast. They're very close friends. And, I told Jack as much today at the game I was at that was a really nice gesture of theirs. And the way he put it was they were making the best out of a bad situation and giving it a chance for, you know, the kids to kind of finish something that was otherwise unfinished.
You had mentioned in your tweets on that game, which was a 14-12 win. Just sloppy? Just real sloppy, obviously?
Not a lot of offensive execution. You know, Haverford School's playing its first game because the Interact starts a week later. They were in plus territory 9 times and came away with 2 touchdowns. 3 missed field goals didn't help there. They're still kind of putting the pieces together. They have the makings of a talented offensive line. I'm super duper impressed by their center, Matt Ponte, who's a Cornell commit. He's a 285-pound center. He's an absolute monster. But they're still trying to figure out some of the other pieces there. But they've got some interesting playmakers. Matt Brosco had a good game as a running back, 133 yards. Gavin Wright's a senior who's starting for the first time. It's an interesting dynamic because they split time between 2 quarterbacks last year who are both seniors because of, you know, all the COVID stuff. They had 2 guys that they wanted to get on film, so they split time. And now they're breaking in essentially a third new quarterback in 2 years, which is kind of an interesting dynamic. Bonner, on the other hand, used 3 quarterbacks today, and they finally, I think, found something with the third guy, Justin Shepard, who's a senior and is a pretty good baseball player. Mm-hmm. But they also have a couple guys that are out. They're starting running back. Avery Hanke was out. Their star big play wide receiver, A.J. Say, went down with an injury in the first quarter. So that didn't help them. And, you know, it's early. They've only played 3 quarters of football, too, this year. So everyone's just trying to piece it together.
Haverford School in the Interact, and it's strange. We were talking about this. We mentioned this earlier in the show. Boy, the Interact's loaded. You look at Malvern Prep. You look at GA. You look at Haverford. You look at Penn Charter. Episcopal seems good. I mean, it just seems like there's a lot of good football teams, and these are teams that we're not going to really talk about that much because they play Saturday games, A, most of them, and B, they can't compete for a state title.
Yeah, and unfortunately, with the way that Malvern has kind of transformed their program, it's really hard to even compete for an Interact title.
Yeah,
because Malvern's getting to the point where they're almost on that next level.
Right.
So what they did to did they play LaSalle?
LaSalle, and they shut them out. Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, you know, not to say that it's an open and shut case as to who's going to win the Interact, but that's a pretty convincing opening statement. And you know, they play tight game. A lot of these games end up as tight, you know, Saturday morning, 17-10 type games and stuff like that. But there is a ton of talent in the Interact. I, as part of our preview, pointed out that Haverford School has sent 3 players to really high Division I schools in the last 5 years. One of them, Awesome Richards, is a starting right tackle at North Carolina, and he's probably a guy that's going to be drafted. They have a kid now who's a senior tight end who's going to Rice, James Falk, who is 6'6", 230 pounds, I think. And he's just an absolute, he's just a monster. So, it, you know, and that's in Delco, we kind of look at them as a middle of the road, maybe team compared to some of the central leagues, but they have just so much talent.
Matt, a fountain of information, and I tell you this every week, that's why we enjoy having you on. And Kevin insists because we have to have Matt DeGiorgio on. I said, I'm no argument here. And this is why. Thanks so much.
For the Delco listeners.
For the Delco.
You speak Delco well.
No problem. I'm just, What's that? A compliment.
Okay.
I can't tell if that's a compliment. I don't think it is.
It was Cooney. C-O-O-N-E-Y. Okay. No, don't blame Nolan. Hey, buddy, always.
I believe it's Cooney, C-I-U-N-E-Y.
Is that the Catholic League spelling?
It is.
It is.
I believe so, yeah.
It is. Hey, listen, safe weekend, safe holiday, and we'll talk to you next week probably.
Have a good one. Thanks, guys.
All right. Matt DeGiorge joining us, letting us know that Haverford beat
Bonner-Prendy 14-12.
You know, I can't help but think about years ago when the Catholic League came in to the PIAA. And initially, they struggled a little, but all of a sudden, now they're over-dominant. Mm-hmm. I wonder if that would be the cry from people if Interact teams came in. It would just be the same thing now with the Interact.
And I'm sure we'll get into this in this next segment. But also remember, Interact can have fifth-year players.
Yes.
So that's a big difference. And that's not allowed in the PIAA. And that would have to change for them to get in.
We got to take a break. We come back. We're going to wind it up, wind it down. You're listening to the High School Football Scoreboard Show on a Friday night here on the Odyssey app and 1210 WPHD.
The Friday Night High School Football Scoreboard Show with Jeff Nolan and Kevin Cooney.
High School Football Scoreboard Show, taking you softly to the midnight hour with Kevin Cooney and Darryl Dovis.
Got to slow things down a little bit.
Yeah, I was telling the boys at the break, the caffeine's wearing off right now. So it's like, all right, here we go. You can guide this to 12 o'clock. Henry Machette.
I've listened as much as I can. Has he given you any Elvis yet?
No, he's too young, but Henry's doing.
But it's about you.
No, it's not. It's never been.
Bruce Springsteen for you?
That was last week.
Yeah. Okay, I missed that.
Henry Machette is our engineer and our producer, and he does a great job. And it's our first year working with Henry, and we appreciate the great work he's doing with us.
I'll bring wings in next time.
Yeah,
Henry.
We'll take care of you, Henry. Trust me.
I appreciate it.
No problem. Listen, see if he's got a wallet.
Yep. We'll get you all the tasty cakes you want.
Yeah. Hey, so let's go over this. We only have about 10 minutes here. So the poll question tonight, Kevin, was,
should public and private schools play in the same pool for a PIAA state championship? The final response, it's not real final. You can still vote for the next 10 minutes, but is no, it's not an even playing field. Gets 51.1%, much to John Donnelly's dismay, I'm sure. Yes, it's good to have a true state champion, 44.3. Not quite sure, 4.5.
So the argument is, and I'm just going to do, having raised kids in the William Tenet School, the Centennial School District, okay? Archbishop Wood is right down the street. Mm-hmm. So if you are living within that school district, you can go to Tenet, or you can
go to Archbishop Wood.
You can go to Archbishop Wood.
Or any other school you want.
Or
any
other private school you want. And what happens is sometimes, now William Tenet right now is not known for the football program. Wood is. If you are an exceptional football player, D, right, you're going to sit there and look at that. If I can afford it, I'm going to go to Archbishop Wood. And Tenet and Centennial and Tenet may say, well, that's not right. They could just, the best players just walk away. And that's the open enrollment, and that's the argument that it's not fair that open enrollment schools have that advantage against strict district schools.
Well, I've got a buddy who coaches in middle school, Holocong, over in Central Bucks East, and I'm sure, and Donnelly would know this very well, is that he's lost a lot of players after middle school that all of a sudden have gone to primarily Wood, but...
Go ahead.
But they have gone other places too.
Germantown Academy.
Yep.
Yeah.
The there's interacts a couple as well.
Of, but you go back to the 1990s and Central Platte, when it was two schools, East and West, and East would say, how are these kids, our best players, going over to West? So it's finagled back and forth.
Well, fortunately, I was at Pensbury. Right. We were just one dominant school then. So
what is your thought?
My point is, it used to be where everybody would look at it would be like, it was the Catholic school. Because it was primarily the Catholic schools, with Pittsburgh Central Catholic and everything. Mm-hmm. And then when the PCL, as Darryl mentioned, came in 2008. The one difference that's in here that I think is important to remember is it's not just private schools that have kind of this come one, come all kind of mode in it because of the charters. And we see this more in basketball.
But it's open enrollment, no matter how you label you put on it, it's open enrollment.
Right. So, you are getting it from a larger area, okay? It's not a charter school in Philadelphia can get from anywhere, okay?
Right.
Now, the question is...
Well, so can a Catholic league school.
Is it because of educational purposes that these kids are going, or is it because of athletics? And I think that's where you need a district committee that has some teeth. And one of the problems that the PIAA has had is the idea that they have not had the teeth to really make
the
rules stay
up. They don't want to address it.
No.
Bob Lombardi will tell you that. He's going to join us in 2 weeks. And if he was honest, I think he might say, I want to stay away from this.
Yeah, because honestly, then you end up with a bunch of lawyers involved. And I don't think they want a ton of lawyers. So I think this is the major problem.
That is the question, then.
We should also point out that there is a part of the state constitution, and bringing this up at 11:50 is always risky, but there's a part of the state constitution that you cannot discriminate against a school because of, you know, their beliefs or their system, okay? So the PIAA will tell you that their hands are tied.
Okay.
That it would take something basically in the state constitution and the state code that would have to change from the state legislature, and the state legislature wants no parts of this because it's such a hot button political issue.
Fast question. Are you really discriminating? Think of what you said. Are you really discriminating for their beliefs?
Well, when it was primarily a Catholic school or a religious school kind of thing, there is a belief that it became discriminatory towards people of those faiths because they did not want to go to a public school and they wanted to learn about their faith. And it's a big problem.
Right. It's true.
It's a big problem that they would have on a legal basis.
Yeah. I think that would be a hard angle to prove, though, because you're talking strictly athletics. And if you're talking about, it's not their faith that you're questioning. You're questioning their practices about on the athletic end, at least in this case, and how they can allow players to come in or any students to come in.
I hear what you're saying, but I would also tell you that basically the rule is you can't discriminate if you're getting state funds. True. Right? It's almost like a Title IX thing.
Okay.
But sorry.
No, that's okay. That was good information. I didn't realize I was talking to Ben Franklin.
Yes.
But it goes back to the question, what is fair? Is it fair that schools built strictly on district boundaries are playing schools that can pluck from anywhere they want and get the best athletes?
And the question is, why has it worked in other states? You know, Jersey had it for a long time. I don't think they have it now because they've kind of changed the boundaries a little bit in that. Jersey had it. There's other states that have had these separate championships and then even found a way at the end to have it come together to play like a tournament of champions in basketball would be the big thing.
Basketball has it.
Baseball had it.
Field hockey has it. Okay. Some of the sports that aren't as physical, I guess.
But you have determined two separate champions. That's the bottom line. Then you got into your pool, is what you're saying.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So why can't Pennsylvania do that?
Because they believe that the state constitution is written as such that they could not do that because it gets into a discriminatory nature.
We go back to discrimination and the constitution.
Yes.
Which is amazing because we're just talking high school athletics.
Yeah, but it's also involving anything with funding. If you're a state,
I understand
there's a real legal fine hair here that has to be kind of threaded through a needle.
So putting you on the spot, what do you think?
I think you need strong oversight from the districts. I'm not sure. I think you can play with you can have a level playing field if your districts are really strong and hanging over the fact of this transfer is going here for legitimate academic purposes, blah, 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 as opposed to a Wild Wild West mentality, which I think it is now.
Now, the private school will argue, well, look, I have to pay for my student to go and do this. So I'm also sacrificing something, which is monetarily.
Right.
Because you're not only paying the school district taxes, you're also now paying the private fee to go to the school. So there's that argument on the private side. I just want to lean heavily on public.
Oh, and I'm not, this is a tricky issue. And I think everybody is kind of divided. You know, we heard John talk about, well, it's obviously, you know, and if you went to somebody at the Catholic League, they would point out that, hey, this is the rule. This is the way it's been. And we did not want to come into the we didn't want to come to the PIAA if we were going to be discriminated against and playing for like a lesser title.
But if you took out, and we just have a few minutes here.
Yeah.
Take out the legal wrangling.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What is just your bottom line answer to the question? I would say that.
I would like them to have a separate format.
As would I.
But I also understand all the legalities involved.
And not again, but I want to take it out and just make it the common question.
I understand.
So you and I are on the same page, separate.
I would like to have separate and then them getting together at the end and playing for a title.
D?
I agree with both of you. I think the scheduling would be real tricky if you're looking to get them all to finish at the same time.
And we bring this up because of the fact that this is the best case we're going to get for a public and Catholic because we're seeing so many of these schools playing against each other. So it's an interesting public-private, rather. So it's interesting to kind of see it go now into the first couple of weeks of the season.
Real quick, private charter part, it becomes very difficult because some of these are opening and then closing.
Yeah.
There's a lot. And now you've got Catholic schools that are closing as well.
Yeah.
You're getting a lot of fluctuation in those numbers. Public schools don't close kind of like these private ones do, at least not as fast.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, this has been fun. We'll have another poll question next week.
Yep.
Brian Hensel will rejoin the show. He's got your Johnson popcorn. He's bringing it in studio. Daryl, it's been fun. It was great to have you back on the air with us tonight.
Thanks for inviting me.
You're going to hopefully be back in October. Kevin's going to go away, and you're going to come back. We've had fun. Henry Machette has engineered the show, makes it easy on us. We come back next Friday night for week number 3, scores and highlights. Also, coaches. We're going to start getting some players on. That's a little tougher to do, but the writers join us as well. For Kevin Cooney and Daryl Dobis, I'm Jeff Nolan. Thanks for listening to the High School Football Scoreboard Show on the Odyssey app in the 1210 WPHT.